Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's not easy being the one everyone counts on to keep your operation running, no matter the weather or supply chain hiccup. But we get you, Raymond in Buffalo, Maria in Miami, and Jules in Troy. Taking control of everything that's under your control. At Grainger, we're here for you with high-quality supplies for every industry, plus real-time product availability and access to experts ready to help. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the big thing. It's Monday, and Eternals, it came out. And this is for people who have seen the movie. We're doing a spoiler. Spoiler? We're doing a spoil. A spoiler-heavy review of the Eternals. Hence, that's why it says it on the thumbnail. Hence, that is why I have Koji Andrew with me. And I hope you are going to enjoy this episode. Spoiler-heavy review, conversation, talk, thoughts on the Eternals. It's a big thing. It's myself, Christian Harloff, and Koji Andrew coming at you. Let's do it. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Big thing. Monday, November. Wow. It's November. Movie industry starting to move. Get this movie coming out. Eternals. Did our non-spoiler for it. Let's find that on the channel. It's a heavy reminder that this is a spoiler-heavy review once again. And who better than this character? What's up, Koi?
You're the person I know that loved this as much as me, so I've been really looking forward to this today.
The only person.
The two people on the internet. I've been so looking forward to this conversation because I've talked to a lot of people that are casually enjoying it and a lot of people that disliked it, but I have no one else that's like, go team Eternals.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, it's like one of those things where I had a conversation, I think, and it, actually Ellis made a point that I don't necessarily disagree with, but I still didn't mind it. Mm-hmm. And his point was that there are a lot of times in this film that the same beat is kind of repeated, like when they're meaning in, as far as conversation goes of humanity, we got to save humanity, damned humanity, and they bring it up like a bunch sure. of different times. When he said it, I was like, you know, you're right. That is something, but I didn't mind it. I felt, and he said a lot of the stuff, he said some of it seemed kind of rehashed. I felt it was just very fresh.
Someone said it's the Marvel formula, but bigger. And I was like, this does not have the formula at all. Like, there's not a single beat that feels familiar to me.
Right.
And what you're speaking to Mark saying, I feel like they're talking about that from different perspectives every time.
Yeah.
Of course you need to rehash a conversation if you've got a new perspective on it.
Yeah, I know. I stand by what I said as far as it's beautifully shot. There's a lot to it. I don't think, I mean, I had not seen Dune before I saw this. I saw this one first. Now, as intricate, I'll say the word is, as this movie is, doing his intricate times 1,000 and in a great, and I say that in a wonderful way. Like if you ask me what I like better, I like doing better.
Mm.
That's not that I gave them both like the same score, but I think that if you're like, I gave you a very hard question on Friday's episode of the rewatch where I said, would you take the Matrix or Spider-Man? And, if you asked me that question with Eternals and Dune, I would take Dune. I'd want to see a second one. This is where I think there's enough going on in the MCU that if you took the Eternals out of it, wouldn't ruin it for me.
Sure.
But that being said, I enjoyed this movie more so than I have in a Marvel movie in quite some time because it was very different to me. It was very thinky or, you know, heady to me. And I liked what they were doing. I will still say that I think that is Gemma Chan, right?
Yep.
I thought she had the least to do even though she was the main character. And I wish I would have developed her more because like she's just there in the beginning, like, you know, to establish she is an Eternal. She's got the great relationship with Sprite, who I think has a lot to do.
Yeah.
Sprite's got a lot to do. And then obviously the romantic relationship that she's having with both Kit Harington and both the Starks, which I thought was great.
Good little stunt casting. It's fun.
I also really liked how they played with that. I liked how they, Chloe Zhao did that when there's that first meeting between the two of them and our audience that we saw it audibly like carefully, and I like laughed because it was like such a
release of
a sweet moment of the two of them kind of coming together, meeting each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really liked that the film has 10 different perspectives, and a lot of people were saying like, you don't know how they got from A to B with those perspectives. But I think that since you have this foundation of knowing and trusting each of their arcs, by the time they explain how each of the 10 feel about their decision-making towards humanity, it all worked for me. I think these are some of the most fleshed out characters in the MCU, which is saying a lot because you're introducing 10 characters in the MCU. You've got the amazing, amazing, amazing dichotomy of Iron Man and Captain America in the OG Avengers films that leads to Endgame, where you've got Captain America going from selfless to selfish by choosing to finally stop fighting his fight and being his own man and dancing. You've got Iron Man that goes from a selfish character, literally making warfare, to sacrificing himself. And then all in the middle, you've got Thor going on an existential crisis of who he is, what's a god, all those things. That took 8 movies minimum. It actually took 23, but it took 8 minimum movies. This movie doesn't quite do that because it can't. But what it does do is it gives us 10 ensemble characters that all go through giant arcs that by the time you're making this extremely heady introspective decision, you know where they're coming from. You understand the perspective of gods. I don't understand why people don't like this movie.
Yeah, well, so there's a lot. What I totally agree with you there is that I thought it was a feat to be able to take all of these characters and like each one of them now that we can talk about that we couldn't talk about non-spoiler, right? It's like, so here's this character that if you ask me about the character, I thought they gave you enough. Like we were just talking about Amazing Spider-Man 2, right? And that you've got Harry Osborn and you've got Electro, but there's just not enough time to develop the two of them.
Yeah.
This movie develops all of these characters in a short amount of time. And I thought the one thing is, and I said this in the non-spoiler, I told you afterwards, you ruined part of the movie for me without me ruining it.
I guessed.
You had said at one point when you were watching, you're like, I have a funny feeling they're going to make Icarus the bad guy here. He's going to be the one.
And I was so right.
And I was looking for it right away.
And they didn't do that in the comics.
They don't do it in the comics, right? And so he's like, they pretty much went like anti-Superman with him.
Yeah,
is what they did. Like he's the Superman character. He's got all the Superman powers. He's got everything. Right?
Yeah.
But he's the one that's been working to make sure that the Eternals protect. He reminded me a little bit in the same vein of what the Peacemaker was in the Suicide Squad.
Yeah,
where he's got this mission. He believes in it. He's not doing it for evil causes. He's doing it because he believes in it.
Yeah.
And so much so that he turned on Selma Hayek in order to do so. And she's like, there was like a moment of, I don't know, the Qui-Gon or whatever it might be. But there was a moment of pure disappointment.
Yeah.
In which she's like, oh, I failed you.
Yeah. And that's what I loved is every one of those conversations. A lot of people are like, they just talk a lot. I'm like, yeah, but they're giving you
a lot,
so much with these dialogue. Yeah. And you have these actors that are at the top of their game.
Yeah.
Everyone's performances in this, I think, are exceptional. We talked a little bit about Angelina Jolie not distracting,
she's so
but she's in every scene riveting while not pulling focus. So I love, for me, that we believe Icarus's betrayal.
Yeah.
And I love how they land it with the metaphor of Icarus. I love that we've got these beautiful moments where you feel the betrayal from every character in a different way, because Sprite loves him and because Gemma loves him, and Gemma also loves, you know, our other Stark, and we've got all these different things. But at the same time, the beating heart of the film is about whether or not humanity is worth saving. And at the end of the day, that's a question I personally ask all the time. Like, I'm an optimist that doesn't like a lot of people in 2021.
Right. Right.
So like, I love that the question this film asks isn't about a space portal or about these like gray minions, like so many movies are in comic book space. This is about whether or not people as an entity are worthwhile.
Right.
And I don't know. Right. And I love that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they do bring that up for sure. The things that happen inside of this and in general, and the fact that if you're finding this show for the first time and you want me to be the guy that knows all the names and everything, you've come to the wrong show. That's why Koi is here. It's the Sentinels. Is that what the
Celestials?
Celestials. Thank you.
Yep.
The Celestials are the ones that this big kind of massive beings that are not necessarily good or bad, they just are.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, and here's this one that's been basically blowing up worlds time after time after time. It's happened many times over in different multiverses, right? Is that's what I picked up.
Basically,
out of it?
What they do is they create. So in order to create, they need fuel. And what I loved about this is in the trailer, they go, hey, why weren't you guys here for this war or for Thanos and all these things? And this is the biggest spoiler I can give. So please, if you've somehow lived through these spoilers, leave. Yeah. See the movie. The thing they're saying is that we are fuel. We are the thing that allows this to exist. So because of the snap, snap, we depleted because of everyone coming back. That was a surge of energy that allowed a celestial to be born. They need a catalyst. All we are humans, all we are is energy to these cosmic beings. So the question you get to ask is, are we selfishly, as people, more worthy of creation than potentially billions of other entities?
Right.
Because without the celestial, there will not have these other planets.
And the Eternals feel that, and the Eternals feel that we are.
Because they selfishly have survived with us.
Right.
And that's what's interesting is these aren't necessarily good characters.
Right. Well, they have.
They could have chosen wrong.
They could have. That's true. And that it's funny because it just depends on it's like a certain point of view.
Yeah. Right?
Because you look at like the character of Angelina Jolie, who is Thena, and she, what's the thing called that she has that they think that she has, the sickness, whatever?
Mind weary.
So that's right when I went to the restroom. So right as I said to Coy, I'm like, fill me in. And he's giving me the mind weary thing. And I come back and she's kind of flipping out. And it's not because she's bad. It's the opposite. It's that she's actually remembering.
Yeah.
And that she's playing into this thing. She's going against the Eternals, who are, to a lot of people, especially the beings, what's the main ghost dogs that are running around the thing?
The
Deviants. So the Deviants are
ghost dogs.
They look like ghost dogs, right? So they look like Ghostbuster dogs. So and they're running around the joint, which I thought they developed pretty well too. I liked what they did with them because I was worried they were just going to be like these mindless
beasts. Exact same.
In the comics?
They almost are the heroes too.
Right.
The Deviants are kind of humans dealing with aliens.
That's
right. Like they're dealing with something that's more evolved than them. Like if aliens invaded the planet tomorrow, they clearly got here somehow. We don't have interstellar travel, which means we're the dumb ones.
Right.
To me, I love that the Deviants kind of represented how we would encounter aliens, these god creatures,
right.
And they're just trying to keep up. Deviants didn't do anything wrong. They're just trying to do their job.
It's just a matter of who was lied to, what was there, what's the reason, and it's the overall mission.
Yeah. Right?
And so that's what continues to happen throughout this entire thing and how time just moves. And then our boy, Irish guy.
Druig, man.
This guy is fantastic.
Barry Keoghan.
I always remember Barry Keoghan from Dunkirk where he stands out. And he's in some other things too, but that's the one that he stands out to me though. But he's so good in this movie because his character, when he sees the mind-weary thing happen, he's just like, no.
Yeah.
You're gonna erase her memories?
Yeah.
Like, no, you're not gonna do that to her. And he's like, I could stop all of this fighting and nonsense. Like I have the power to do that, and you're not letting me do it.
Yeah.
Like what? Like no. And you know,
and you see the manipulation after you find out why.
Yeah.
You see why they need that manipulation. Why you need these wars to keep going. Why the Celestials, which just adds more subtext to each and every character.
Right.
I also love that the character that controls others' minds is paradoxically the one that doesn't want her mind lost.
Right.
There's little choices like that where anyone could have said, "No, no, we got to save Angie," but it's him.
And he has this relationship with who's the Flash in this one? The girl.
Oh, the girl. That's one of the names I don't actually know.
So
Makari.
Okay. She's really. Like, and she's another one. She's got this relationship with him. They set that up really well, like in the olden times. And I love the flashbacks into the different
Babylonian era.
Yeah,
and like it's like, beautiful.
And how they're just kind of walking around doing their thing and they keep it quiet. And they're able to, you know, and that whole scene where he's basically, they start fighting and manipulates him to stop fighting. And they said, don't get involved in that. Don't do it. There's some really like moments in there that stand out that show you a lot of who they are. And then you get the inventor.
Yeah, Fastos.
I love that scene of Fastos when he's like, I have this thing that they can do and bring it up now. And they're like, if you introduce this to them now, they're going to lose. They're not ready for this. And he's like, fine, how about a plow? Like, fine, yeah, give him the plow.
Like, so we see the evolution of mankind through a comedic joke that actually feels totally appropriate.
Yes.
It's like, I don't understand how this movie is rotten. I'm so personally, this is my hill to die on 2021. Yeah. I'm personally invested in this doing well.
From critic-wise, I don't know. I'm curious how the audience is going to.
It's going to land like a 40.
I'm wondering how, you think audience scores 40? You don't think they're going to like it as much?
No.
I was on that page. But I also think that you might get a buck the system because a lot of times when the critics
the rebellious
united,
I hope
because this isn't a movie to me like Halloween Kills should be at a 2,
yeah,
it's at a 35 or something,
yeah,
that is super high.
These shouldn't be in the same conversation.
No,
as far as like 30% away.
That, 40 now. This one, Eternals?
This one's at 68.
A 68.
I'm saying the audience is going to be lower than the critics because critics have read.
I don't think so.
Really?
No, I don't think so. I did before.
Okay.
I think it's the opposite now. I think audiences are going to like this movie.
I just don't know if audiences are going to be down for conversations because a lot of people complain about Loki. People think Loki's not good, and I think that's the best thing Marvel's done on TV.
That's why I'm wondering what this conversation is going to be like, even in the comments of this.
Or even people, because you're the first person I've talked to that loved it as much as I did.
Yeah.
I know people. people that have liked it, but no one except, and it's ironic because you and I saw it together and we walked out like, change in cinema. And now I've been like, oh no.
No, people, we were with, Roka was behind us, right? And Roka saw it for a second time because he took Shannon. Did he hate it?
The first time he said he disliked it, and then they came out like Vitrolic. He came out.
Okay. He cut a promo.
He went Roka to Outlaw. Now he's Outlaw against it.
Oh, see, maybe that's, you know, a lot of times people will, once it comes a little bit more common and stuff, and they see like there's more people on kind of his side too,
you get the energy from them.
For sure.
Whereas I talked to Campy after, and we had a great talk about how much he loved it.
Oh,
and
he loved it too?
Okay. He was in between you and I. Like, I think this for me is in my top 10 Marvel. And for him, it was like in the 15 range, and I feel like you're at like 12, 13.
I don't know yet. I want to see it again.
Okay.
I'll tell you, like, there's certain movies like I don't want to ever see again in the Marvel. So if I never have to see Guardians of the Galaxy 2 ever again, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, you have a specific thing against that one. I remember that coming up.
Don't like that movie. Mm-hmm. But this movie I loved. I thought her style worked really good for it. I loved the characters. I liked the ending scene when they have Icarus and they're all banding against him.
Yeah.
Right? And then you have like this whole,
and you feel it. You care about hurting him.
Because he doesn't really, I mean, they have to all come together, even with him, in order to do it. He finally snaps out of it, you know?
Yeah.
And he does.
And that's so human, and it's great. Through gods we see humanity. Like, how often are we just following rules? Like, I mean, maybe it's because I'm a burner. Or maybe it's because I like hallucinogens, but often I look at the world and I go, like, how are we so in line with yes and to all of these horrible atrocities we do? Right. We so often commit these things. Like one example on the way here, I looked at gas prices and I was like, oh God. But at the end of the day, we're using the planet's blood to fuel our cars to do stuff we don't actually need to do. And it's insane to me that we're like, that's normal because of how long it's been going on. We're just the same as Icarus here. We're just following someone else's credo. Gas should be $20 a gallon. It's insane that we don't have things fixed by now. So to me, it's crazy that we're all looking at these characters and I understand each of their arcs. And then for people to say the movie is bloated, you couldn't cut anything from this film.
I don't think it's bloated at all. No.
I would have loved another 30 minutes.
Something that someone said, and I don't know who said it, it's the same old thing that I think people get tired of hearing me say, but I do feel like Dune, love Dune as a two-part movie. I'm all for having it as a series, but in where they're going with it, but that movie as it was, love it as a movie.
Sure.
I could have seen this as a series.
Loved it. I would have loved it.
I think the Eternals might have suffered from the same thing that Many Saints of Newark suffered from.
Mm.
That there's so much going on, and I thought it was developed very well, Eternals, right? That they had some good characters in it. But I think that if you turn that 2 hour and 40 minute movie into an 8 episode miniseries of the Eternals, I think you accomplish more, and I think you get more people on your side. But again, we haven't seen what the audience says. Maybe the audience feels like us. Maybe we represent the audience. Maybe we just two idiots that love the movie. You know, it's like
it's tracking well opening week, and I'm curious about the drop off, and I'm curious about the fan immediate reaction.
I'm wondering because I remember after watching it going, I was confused, and I was definitely wrong. I thought, well, this is the critics' movie, maybe not the audience's movie. Maybe it was wrong. Maybe it's there's either two things I'm wrong about. Either it's A, the audience's movie, not the critics' movie, or it's just our movie.
Yeah, maybe it's just you and I being like, I'm glad they made that for us. Thanks, Chloe. I appreciate this film.
It's for us.
It could be.
Well, but 68% is still 68%. You know, it's not great.
I think it'll land in the low 70s by the time at least 300 critics have seen it. So now it's at like 150 or something. Yeah, so it's only half the critics.
So normally, a lot of times I'm in the like majority of critics.
Yeah.
I'm so in the opposite.
Yeah.
I'm so in the opposite. Like I really love this one. It's one of the more enjoyable Marvel movies. I wonder if my wife would like it. I feel like she would. I feel like she would like this one. I mean, it's long. We'd watch it over a couple of days, but I feel like she would.
I really love the fact that I can't wait to have conversations about each dynamic. I can't wait to talk about Phastos and Thena. So one of the things I love most is
the
that
we're doing the show.
That's why we're here, you guys. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. One of the things I love most is that every single supporting character is actually a leading character of their own movie, and it feels like it.
Yeah. So hence why I think the series would have worked.
I would have loved an episode of Makari. Yeah. I wanted to know Makari more.
Yeah.
But what I really love is that everyone's power suits their personality, but it doesn't feel like it's cheesy. So like Druig is my favorite character in the movie.
Same.
And his manipulation of people feels so justified to his arrogance, but his arrogance doesn't feel short-sighted because he's a literal god. But as soon as he needs to be good, he is. Then you've got Phastos who creates. He's a genius inventor. So what does he do? He creates a family. So this man who's literally a god, what would his subconscious want to feel connected to create? Then you've got Selma Hayek, who's connected to the Celestials. She's someone that receives. She's someone that births ideas.
Yeah.
She's our maternal one. She's the one that feels the most like Mother Nature.
Right.
Every single character. Those are 3 of 10. Athena.
Who's Athena's guardian again?
Fastos.
Gilgamesh. Gilgamesh. So Gilgamesh, names to me, is probably right there with me. My favorite characters are Druig.
Mm-hmm.
Gilgamesh, and then Athena.
Yeah.
Those are my, like, which is so crazy because I would like...
Because Mael Ninjani's in this, and that's like very much like...
He serves the purpose of the Marvel character.
Sure.
He's the Marvel character.
100%.
He's the one that tells the jokes. I was very nervous that it was going to turn into Guardians 2 with everybody gets a joke. Mm-hmm. It didn't. Him and his buddy from the films worked for me.
Sure.
Thought it was funny. Thought it was definitely a Marvel moment, but I was like, but it's a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
So it works. It's not, it wasn't placed in the wrong way. And I liked him also because what I really liked about his character, he was all aboard and understood Icarus's message.
Yeah.
He just didn't fight. He just wasn't going to fight with him.
Exactly.
How many times did you fight? He'd fight against him because he didn't want to turn.
Right.
But he understood the message.
And it made sense to make him our eye line. We need to feel torn, so they give us the Marvel character that we're the most comfortable with.
We're
going to be comfortable with the character that makes quips because that's what Marvel does.
But he
so
also,
they make him the one that's...
Yeah, but he also... It's so specific to, like, politics today.
Yeah.
Because if you're on whatever side you're on, and it's like it's embedded that you're not allowed to agree with the other side's opinion on anything.
Yeah, you can't agree with some of their message. You've got to be 100%.
On anything.
Yeah.
So he's going, I understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm not going to fight against you guys because we're family, but I share his politics is basically what he's saying. And I love that about that because he's just like, but you guys are my family. I'm not going to fight you.
Right.
I'm not going to fight against you, but I ain't going to do what you want to do.
And then you've got a character who feels wronged by humanity, but still loves them in Sprite, who also loves the person that's doing the wrong.
So she's on board with him.
And all he's doing wrong is following the orders that he's been for generations.
So she's going to do for him because she's following her heart.
Exactly.
So I don't understand when people are saying there's not depth in it.
There's more depth in this than most movies.
So much, like with the characters and everything about them. Like when you look at, again, with Druig, but Gilgamesh to me, in that storyline with Athena, is like, I'm going to protect her.
Yeah.
And then he's the one that's got, he's like, hear me out, you know, listen to me.
Again, power subtext. He's the protector. He's the one that's got defense. So he's going to defend his love.
And I felt the most when he died.
Yeah.
When he died, I was like, I felt myself go, no.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't do that a lot in the movies. Sure. I was like, I'm fine, go. This one, I'm like, no, he was good. It was, and then her pain, because she's such a great actress, you know,
yeah.
And so the stuff that she did. You and I talked this last on our, I think that we were talking so fast about it. Like we both said, we think this is her best performance. We forget about Girl Interrupted and there's a lot of other movies.
Best modern performance. Best recent performance.
What she's done in the last couple of years, I think for sure.
Yeah.
Because this is because it is not easy for actors. It's, and I don't want to say easy is the word, but it is for really great actors and actresses that go into dramas and when they tune into it, you can get that performance out. It is very hard to bring out solid performances in these big budget action movies.
Yeah.
It's getting a little better for people now because of the technology that they have. You look at like the void that they have it for like Star Wars.
Yeah,
and they're starting to use that
set
thing. And like that's helping, but like green screen and the day of green screen, it's hard for actors to
do that. You're acting off the tennis ball. Like you're literally emoting off of this.
Right. So when you, that's more or less what we're saying for what she's able to do and what she's able to bring to this role of Athena. Like I understood her, I got her, and I love the relationship between the two of them. And I love that Angelina Jolie took a back seat and that she didn't need to be. No, I need this to be the Angelina Jolie movie. Not once does it feel like an Angelina Jolie movie. And I think that had a lot to do with Chloe Zhao.
Yeah, I was going to say, I also love that Chloe was able to balance this many different personalities and this many powers and make it feel plausible.
Yeah.
I also love that she was able to incorporate her style in a way that didn't ever feel like the studio was like, no, it feels like a Chloe Zhao movie.
It does.
And I didn't love Nomadland. I love this. Like, this is
making... Did you see The Rider?
I haven't yet, which is ironic because I have cousins in it. It's John, the leads are John Droz,
Oh, okay.
And there's no other genres in the, like, on IMDb, there's three of us. Two of them are in that movie.
I didn't know that. That's fine.
But I need to see her movie now because I'm actually glad I haven't seen it because I loved Eternal so much. It's making me want to revisit Nomadland, which doesn't often happen with a Marvel movie where I'm like, let me go see this director I don't enjoy.
Right.
Like, I really am excited by the world she built here.
I like that how she did it because it doesn't just feel like her movie, though, too. Sometimes I get, like, we've talked about Sam Raimi or Tim Burton.
Yeah.
When they just make a Tim Burton movie, when they just make a Sam Raimi movie, it takes away from the movie itself. I don't feel like that happened here. I feel like this is her style.
Yeah.
Like, she used her style, but she used her style to tell this movie inside, and she didn't just say, well, I'm making the movie the way I want to make this movie.
Did you like Guardians 1?
I did.
Okay, so to me, that's the perfect example of James Gunn in a Marvel film.
Yes.
Because it still feels like the tone and pace of a Marvel movie, yes. But it's so James Gunn. And now, because of James Gunn and Taika, Infinity War is juicier for it.
Well, I'll use the Suicide Squad for James Gunn.
Yeah.
The Suicide Squad, to me, is the perfect... Like, to me, I think that Guardians, the first movie is great, but he still had the PG-13 handcuffs on him.
Sure.
The Suicide Squad, to me, is one of James Gunn's best movies.
I agree.
Way better than any of the Guardians movies. Yeah. Because
I'm only using Guardians because the piece of the puzzle of Avengers.
I understand, but yeah. I'm just mean that from your example as far as the director on the style, right?
Yeah.
James Gunn's style and writing and humor and all of it plays in so well to the Suicide Squad because it tells the story all the way through and the people who are telling the jokes and the reason why, because there's a lot of jokes in that movie, tons. But the jokes hit inside of the character and the tone that's always set up, and it doesn't seem like the Oprah, you get a joke. It didn't seem like that, right?
I agree.
So that's why I think that worked for him. For this, for Chloe Zhao, like, she, like, you, those big sweeping long shots that she does in her movie, like, yeah, you know that's her movie, but it's also because she's continuously telling the story. Like, I didn't want to take my eyes off of this movie because it's gorgeous to look at, but the things that I think that didn't maybe play as well, I don't know how much I really bought Gemma Chan and Icarus's relationship.
That is my weakest link.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just actor chemistry or
I bought her and Kit Harington.
In a second.
I didn't buy them or why she was in love with him as much.
Yeah. I don't know if the actors put up too many walls because it was supposed to be so long ago. They kept mentioning, like, you know, thousands of years.
Right.
But their relationship and every other dynamic was so tight-knit, even though they hadn't seen each other. I'm like, I wanted a little bit more friction between the two of them.
Yeah, and they just kind of get together because it almost is like, well, there's really nobody else.
We're the two leads, I guess.
What are you doing? All right, come here.
Yeah.
And, you know, because then it does play into that pain that Sprite has. It's like, why am I a kid?
Yeah.
Why can't I grow up? Like, come on. And then she, like, her angle at the end when she wants to actually go out and become a kid.
Yeah.
Again, I thought that was great. I mean, actually be a human.
And I love Gemma when she was getting to be, I like her solo scenes. Like, I liked her at the school. I liked her when we're, and, like, it was as soon as there was a dynamic where I was like, why is this a little distant? Why does this feel like it's over here?
Right.
Because I wanted her to feel like the family.
Yeah, because they set it up with her where she was trying to hide this thing from him, from who's Kit Harington? Let's get into that
Dane
also.
Whitman. Oh, dude, the Dane Whitman of it all.
So tell me, because one of my biggest gripes until I asked you at the end and then the ending, one of my biggest gripes was like, oh, well, they kind of just downplayed him the whole movie because he's just sitting there. He's just a normal dude.
Yeah.
Who does, like, he's just kind of waiting on the phone.
Such a major thing to come.
So that's when that criticism went away for me because I'm like, oh, well, they're setting different things up for him.
Yeah.
So explain to me.
So Dane Whitman is a character named Black Knight, and basically his sword is the anti-Mjolnir. In comic books, to wield Mjolnir, you have to be worthy.
Yes.
In this world, the ebony blade makes you worse. So you need to be bad, and it makes you worse and worse. You make bad decisions.
He's a bad dude?
He's a good dude that has to be bad to wield the power. So he's conflicted the whole time. It's a fascinating character. Yeah. Kind of like the symbiote.
Yeah.
You've got to be like, Venom wants to eat brains. It's not a bad thing. He's trying to protect people, but you have these nefarious urges. So it's almost a psychosis where he's like, I'm drawn to this bad decision, but I'm a good
guy.
Take
the ring.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the whole, like, post-credit scene is we get to see the Ebony Blade kind of already affecting him negatively, but he wants to go save. He wants to do something good and selfless, but that's going to inspire him to make bad decisions
so
on that
someone
journey.
Says something to him off camera, right? Is that Blade?
Yeah, it's Blade.
Is it? Okay.
I'm so excited. Like, okay. That was our first... confirmed Blade in the MCU.
So he works with Blade?
Not generally, but the tone of the comics fit it. Like, Blade pops up in all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
What's tricky about Blade is Blade gets canceled constantly. Blade comics, like, start, stop, in, mid-run. Yeah. So Blade's more of a, like, pop-in character.
Canceled, like...
Yeah,
he didn't say anything on Twitter.
Yeah. Not yeah, he didn't mess up. Blade Mahershala Ali did not
Vampires say aren't that bad. Hey, you get to see that?
No, bro. Yeah. But Mahershala Ali gets the chance to really invent a canon like Wesley Snipes did. Yeah. Wesley Snipes wasn't following a comic run, really. That's why it felt like such a good movie.
Yeah.
With this, they can do that while putting it in Midnight Suns kind of characters like Black Knight. Midnight Suns are like Daredevil-type characters, Punisher, like anti-heroes.
Right. So there's that scene where Black Knight, we'll call him then. So when he's going to have that, he's having that conversation with Cersei, which is also hysterical.
The
Starks are fighting over Cersei. but there, he's having that conversation where he's like, well, I got something I got to tell you.
Yeah.
About my bloodline or whatever to it, right?
So it's genetic. So basically that sword's been in his family for generations. Okay. So since like the 1700s, that's been passed down and passed down, which is fun Game of Thrones in this too. Because that's like a genetic thing. So his character, I think they're going to tie into the more cosmic Guardians-y side of things, but they could also make him like a street-level anti-hero. They could go either direction. Because like he's literally an all-powerful knight that
is he getting his own movie?
Sword, probably. I mean, awesome. You don't hire Kit Harington to like...
That's what you thought, right? But I mean, because it was crazy that, you know, he didn't... I when I saw it, I'm like, that's... I mean, he's a side character?
They've been downplaying
it. You knew right away who he was.
As soon as they cast him, I knew. Yeah. But as soon as they said Dane, I was like, oh, they're leaning all the way in. Because I was afraid he'd be like going by an alias. Because like the name Dane Whitman is only the Black Knight.
So basically what they did there was they said comic book people will
get
understand,
it.
And then casual people will not, and it'll go over their head, and then they'll have to ask their friend.
And then I'm sitting there as Wikipedia for you.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Because I was like, okay, so, all right. The second I saw him have that scene, and he said about the bloodline, they're doing more with him.
Yes.
Because he's my favorite character from Game of Thrones. And
he's probably, the Black Knight character is a bigger character than any one Eternal
in
the comic books. So they're setting him up to be a giant character in the scope of things.
How
so? Because the Black Knight is such a wild card because you never know if he's going to make a good decision or a bad decision.
But he's not immortal.
But he shows up in more things because of that. You can't have the Immortals playing in small affairs.
Right.
The Eternals can't do much.
So they can't do anything.
They can only do celestial shit.
But do they stick by that rule now that they've gone against...
Basically, everything with Eternals, I imagine, is going to be deep space from now on.
Okay.
Because they've made this decision, and I think that Black Knight's going to go hunt and help. But I think he can come back and mess with Avengers, whereas Eternals can't.
But couldn't the Celestial, that's what it is, the Celestial? Is that what
yeah, Celestials.
So couldn't the Celestial then just say, hey, you guys, you messed up my plan, and now, yeah.
Totally.
And just
take but that's
out.
What they have to defend now. Because in the comics, we have to fight Celestials all the time. In the comics, there's actual, you make deals with cosmic entities like the Living Tribunal, you make deals with time itself, you make deals with...
This is a crazy thing.
It gets heady, man.
But this is the thing that I'm so curious on how... This phase of Marvel, and maybe we're seeing this with the critics, right? Maybe
this could be the shift.
Maybe you're losing people.
Yeah.
Like the multiverses and all that kind of stuff. And maybe that's why I think that like the really, I'm very curious to hear the comments on how this plays. Like the really geeky people like us, we love Matrix and multiverses and stuff. There are other people that just like, yeah, just give me the, you know, this is the superhero. He does this. He does
that's
that.
Why you do four movies a year. You do one of these for us. You do three mainstream.
You I know, but you still got to have good out. Box office because if you don't have a good box office, you can't
But the
do
whole
it.
Studio supports the indie choices, I think.
That's why I think.
It's like Pixar.
But you also look at, this is why Loki, right, when they went without series.
Yeah.
Because like, well, the multiverse could be a lot for people, and they did the series for it, did very well for them. So I think you play into those series.
Oh, the TV side's going to be really wonky.
Yeah, man.
It's going to be a lot weirder than the TV and movie side.
So I'm wondering how they're going to... So who's going to... Do you think... That's another question, though, right? Because this movie... Let's see how it does opening weekend.
Yep.
Because from what they're saying as far as the critics go, if you're right and the audience doesn't like it either, and it doesn't do very well week two, and it turns out to be the... Let's say the biggest disappointment since... Well, Thor. What was Thor?
Thor: Dark World did pretty rough.
How did it do?
Opening weekend was solid.
It did solid, right? Okay, but so Thor: Dark Ultron, I know did well, but people don't love it as much. What are the and Hulk, right? Even though I really like Hulk a lot, but those are the movies. They haven't really had a movie that has been very disappointing in a while,
right?
In a long while. So if this one turns out to be, let's say, the most disappointing, not for you and I,
sure,
for everybody else, do they make an Eternals 2?
I think Kevin Feige knows the way to keep every fan happy is to do a support, like the whole thing. I think a rising tide lifts all boats. So I think for every $1 billion an Avenger makes, you can take a little bit of a loss on Eternals.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know they want to make money. I know it's a business. I know all those things. But I don't think it's going to be such a major loss that it prevents the other movies from supporting this type of thing existing. Because you can't tell these stories in an Avengers movie. You can't tell, you can't move your universe forward without these. So I think the cost of these movies at a loss is to allow bigger things in the future.
Well, if you want bigger things in your future, then shave your balls. you have to do it.
Excellent pivot.
Thank you. This holiday season, I am giving thanks to our friends over at Manscaped. Now, do I tell my extended family that I have the Performance Package 4.0 from the global leaders in the below-the-waist grooming? Not to mention, it includes their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer to tame the bush and score brownie points with the in-laws. Gift yourself Manscaped or the man in your life who needs it. You got to join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with 20% off and free shipping with the code BIGTHING by going to manscaped.com. It is not fun to hurt your nuts. You don't want to do that. You don't like it. It ruins your day. It's bullshit. So what you need to do is get one of these things. I've told you about it. I keep getting comments from people who thought, oh, you know what? I didn't think that I'd like it, and I got it, and man, I can't go back. Yeah, should have been listening from the beginning, you humps. You think your holiday spread is good? It's time to give thanks to Manscaped. The Performance Package 4.0, or as I like to call it, it is the perfect package. Forget this, your package. Props to me. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker. Chops your worst weeds up, topping your nose and your ear. This nose and air. Ear hair trimmers, stupid ass, I'm talking to myself, uses a 9,000 RPM motor powered 360 degree rotary dual blade system. It's awesome. I love this.
I have Manscaped. Oh, I love it. Big fan.
The nose clippers.
Yeah.
Don't mess around.
As the 30s happen, they're needed.
For the gifters out there, Manscaped is going to seal the deal with two free gifts from their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and Shed Travel Bag. Gifting Manscaped is the ultimate hack to become the family favorite, especially if you've got people who don't know, they don't listen to podcasts, they don't know about this show, and they haven't heard of Manscaped, get it for them. They're going to go, I don't know if I need this, and they're going to go, the Manscaped thing you got me was great. I don't know if it was necessarily goofy.
I mean, they might be goofy with excitement. Might be. Who knows?
Thanks, Mickey. Manscaped has been busy and launched their refined body wash. This stuff I stay in the shower way too long. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BIGTHING at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code BIGTHING at manscaped.com. Be thankful this holiday season for the best gift of all from Manscaped. Your balls will thank you. So stop being a fucking asshole and get Manscaped. That's how I end now every Manscaped ad, because I did it once. It worked. I like it.
It's a good closer. It's a good closer.
I think so.
Also, the bag itself is like one of my favorite things. The travel bag, like I use it for everything. I didn't know how much I needed a travel bag, and then Manscaped.
Joke.
Thanks, Manscaped.
Manscaped. If Icarus was shaving his balls, he wouldn't have lost Gemma Chan.
That's true. But there would have been more friction there.
Yeah, and that guy's been around too long. He's probably got a bushel down there.
What are you doing, Scottman?
There's a lot going on in this movie, man. And it's on the music.
Stunning.
Oh, so good. Like that music I'm looking forward for when it finally, I think it's out now. I got to get it. Because the music works, same composer for Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. But I like that feel, like that epic kind of sword and sandals feel. There's great fights that they have, you know, in the village and
throughout. There's a great first act, second, third act fight. And the third act fight is the most Marvel one, which was really funny for me because I'm a devout Marvel guy. And I found myself in the Marvel fight being like, I kind of want to talk some more. Like I was enjoying the depth of conversation so much that I knew why they needed the fight they did. But the stakes were so beautifully well rendered. I wanted to like decide morality more.
Yeah.
Like I was so invested in the morality of mortality.
That's what I liked about it also, you know, and I did. And even with like, so the thing with Thanos is that when like you shouldn't agree with what he wants to do.
But sometimes you get it,
but you believe in why he believes it.
Sure,
that's the thing, is that you believe in him. Why is he a bad dude? Yeah, he is, right? But he's bad because he's convinced himself that he's helping
while he's
mass murdering people.
Yeah.
Icarus is different, even though he's definitely not helping, but I don't believe he's got an evil purpose.
No.
Right? He's just doing it. He's just a loyal soldier who's supposed to be doing his job.
And arguably, he's the one that would have helped billions of other lives.
Right.
Arguably, Icarus is a hero
to any other planet.
We're the problem.
Right. He feels that way, right? So that's a confliction of it all and the way that they work. Because it's also pretty heartbreaking that I found myself saying, well, there's a great moment between Fastos and Icarus when they're at his house, and he's like, this isn't even real, and he breaks the thing. But there's like a sweet moment with them. They're friends.
Yeah, they know each other. They're family.
They're family.
The whole thing, all 10 of them feel like family.
They're family. And the fact that they got to fight each other, like legit fight each other, and they know that this ain't going to be easy to do. And then remind me of them, because by the time we were recording this, I had probably haven't seen the movie in like 3 weeks or been like a month.
About a month.
So Icarus winds up helping. And ultimately why they're all able to work together, because otherwise
he was the last piece of the family that needed to destroy.
Because she gets stabbed by Sprite, which she's pretty forgiving about at the end of the movie.
She says,
you know what? It's cool. You know, you want to be human? All right.
Here's some powers.
Here's some powers. It's like, you know, there's a couple. I'm not going to tell you this movie.
It wraps pretty quick.
It wraps quick.
That was a moment I struggled with.
Hey, we're at 240. Wrap it up.
All right. She's a kid now.
You've blown the light by 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
this movie's not perfect. There's definitely, like, you know, even at the end of it, even when they're all fighting together, they seem to band together pretty quick.
That's what I mean. And I would have loved another 20 minutes. Yeah. I'd say 5 in the fight, 2 as a denouement, and about 10 more of like Makari and Gilgamesh, like a few more characters. I would have liked to zhuzh up.
Me too. But you don't get that. But you do, you know, because there was still, I was a little unclear even what their plan was, right?
At the end?
Yeah.
How they're going to take it out?
Yeah.
Some of that I took as they were too.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that was me giving it too much grace.
I think you might have been.
And because I've only seen it the once. I think I might have been like, I get it. They're confused.
Because it did seem like they were like there was here. Oh, they all came here. All these great minds, because Fastos should have come up with some kind of plan. And same thing with our, I could just said his name.
Druig?
Yeah. Figured his plan. And then the Flash thinks he's dead.
Yeah.
He's not. He's just walking away. He's on the other side of the beach.
Right.
There was nothing there.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, why does she think he's dead? We know he's not dead.
We see him. Look at him.
So like, you said, don't worry. She'll be all right in a second, because we know. Because normally they set you up. They hide that too.
Character. Yeah. And we're like,
We know he's
You'll see him
in
a second. He's over the other dune.
He'll be all right. Yeah. He's good. So I thought that the end was a bit messy.
Yeah. The third act is my least favorite, which is interesting because that's usually my favorite for this type of film. Like the big epics, I usually love the third act.
Right.
The second act is my favorite act. And that's, I don't think I've ever said that about a blockbuster film, because that's when you have the conflict, have a lot of debate instead of stupid fighting.
Right.
Like, I love the second act of this film.
It's good.
Also, the Celestials, the first time you see a Celestial
they're
on screen.
They're pretty devastating.
The moment you have that, like, sound design, go, whoa, 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 and you feel like you're in space with them, there's that, like, I fully leaned back and made, like, a sound. Like, and I felt like I was in that.
Yeah, I liked it, too. I liked the way that they set that up, because it's crazy, because you're like, I wonder if they're really out there. I'll tell you what. Icarus, though, that guy, he is in shape. I bet you he uses Fitbod.
Richard Madden. There he is, fit-bodding along.
Richard Madden has been working out a lot. I mean, well, actually, they're all jacked up in this movie.
They're comic characters.
Yes, but they don't repeat the same exercises, because if you did, you lose sight of your progress and it just kill their motivation. So they don't do that. The Eternals don't do that. They don't get stuck doing the same workouts. They make progress towards the future. And in order to do that, you got to overcome new challenges. That's why everybody has Fitbod. And Fitbod creates a fitness program that continually adapts with new exercises and dynamic intensity that adjusts to how you're progressing. So you'll be challenged to meet your goals at your own pace. I showed up at the Eternals thing and I saw Campia and R&B, and they were like, oh, you look fit. It's like, funny you say that. Because perfection, everybody, it's an illusion. But there is a higher level to strive for that looks different for everyone, especially when it comes to fitness. There's no perfect body that everyone can achieve, but what you can do is continually become a better version of yourself. No workout is one size fits all, and what Fitbod does is creates a fitness program that continually adapts to you, so you stay challenged with new exercise, pacing, and intensity based on where you are and where you want to be. I love it, because what you can do, and Corey, I told you about this last time you were on, but You can pick workouts that are tailored to your own equipment and your goals. The app itself has clear, easy-to-follow instructions. It can balance your muscle group, so when you're fully recovered, you're just ready for the next workout. There's a lot of benefits to it, I can tell you. You feel stronger, you feel faster, just to the personalized training when it learns you. Because I can get very bored of workouts within a week or two. Fitbod keeps things really fresh. Fitbods help me work out every muscle group without overworking any of them. Now, here's what Fitbod understands. They understand that the path to achieving your best looks, it's different for everybody. With the Fitbod workouts, they're balanced. And they're balanced to avoid overworking muscles with varied exercises to keep you sharp. If you don't have any equipment, don't worry about it. Fitbod has body weight routines for those looking to get fit at home or on the go. It's very easy to use, and it even has HD video tutorials to make learning new exercises. It's a breeze. It integrates with other fitnesses and health apps like Apple Health, Fitbit, and Strava. Personalized training, it's tough on a budget. It is. But Fitbod, it's only $9.99 a month. It's like $59.99 a year. Sign up now and you'll get 25% off your membership. Pick up the pace on your fitness journey with Fitbod today and your future self will thank you. Get 25% off of your membership at fitbod.me/SENLive. That's 25% off at fitbod.me/SENLive. All right. So, yeah, man. You're a health guy.
I'm a gym dude. And muscle confusion is key. We talk about like plateauing. Sometimes your body adjusts to, even if you're not bored with workouts, sometimes your body is. So you don't even realize which things are overworking, and it's a better, like, well-rounded approach.
It is. So you guys check that out. Fitbod. We've just been with them for a little bit, and it's been fantastic for me. Should be fantastic for you. You're curious at this movie, man. How it's going to play.
I mean, we haven't talked post-credits scene, the second one.
Just wait, what was the first one? First one was the Black Knight. Second one, what was the second one? I
don't remember. Wait, was that the... It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
The other one we haven't talked about.
Oh, right. Right, okay, this one. This is the one everyone was talking about.
Yeah.
And to me, all I knew was, like, is that Harry Styles? That's all it... Like, you're like, oh, that's Thanos' brother. I'm like, they're not even... he's not purple.
Yeah, so it's... So
explain all of this to me.
So Eros is Thanos' brother, who is a very self-serving, malicious character that often is, like, puckish.
Yeah.
Which is ironic because he's with Pip the Troll, who's modeled after Puck. So you have a character that basically...
Puck from MTV?
Puck from, like, Shakespeare.
Oh, okay.
Like the Shakespearean concept, but also MTV. Yeah. So you've got a character who basically serves his own goals, will literally throw anyone under the bus, and he's a deviant in that way, but he's also a very powerful cosmic entity. But instead of Thanos, who literally looks monstrous, he's got this, like, debonair charm. Like, he's
a bad guy.
Oh, okay. I would have cast Leo as him in the 90s. That kind of, like, Lothario, like, and Harry Styles is perfect.
Styles looks good in this.
Harry Styles is perfect. Yes. Like, I'm just saying, like, that archetype.
Right, so he shows up to the Eternals. Is that what happens?
Yeah.
Remind me of the scene, because all I remember is him and the troll.
So they're in
up.
The ship, and you see the troll first.
Right.
Pip the Troll walks up, Patton Oswalt killing it.
It is Patton
Oswalt. And he walks up, and he's basically saying, your greatness, blah, 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 and he's pimping out Eros, who's about to walk up. And then Eros is like, well, if you guys are going to go try to save them, you need my help. So we're going to find out in whatever that is, like, what that cost is, how he's trying to trick them. He wants ultimate power. He might be on the Team Celestial, or there's something he gets out of killing a Celestial. He's so self-serving, he's like the worst prince.
So how are him and Thanos... brothers.
So I think they have one different parent, like either a mom or a dad. Purple, because that's the different parent. So I don't remember which one it is, but he's not purple in the comics either. He's super handsome, and he's got the same creator. Actually, Pip the Troll, Thanos, and Eros are all Jim Starlin characters. So they were all created by the same dude. So his real parents are the same.
So he's a very anticipated character.
Huge. Well, to us,
like, comic book fans.
To my people.
That's what I mean.
But deep cut. Like, this isn't something even people that read comics in the 90s would know. This is a 70s, 80s cosmic thing.
Interesting.
Like, he hasn't been around. He hasn't been utilized that much in the last 20 years. Donny Cates uses him a lot.
Yeah, so they set up Thanos in the first Avengers.
Yeah.
He's there for like a split second. At that point, I don't think they knew what they wanted
to do. Wasn't Brolin. It was my buddy Damian.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
They didn't even know what they wanted to do with him at that point. They just knew they wanted to introduce him.
Right.
They didn't have the whole... I think that eventually they had the idea of Infinity War or whatever too, but they didn't know how they were going to get there.
I don't think they got there until like phase two.
Right.
I think they were like, oh, right, we got this.
Is this the same thing?
I think this time they think further ahead.
Yeah.
I think back then they used to have a 5-year plan. I think now they have a 10 to 15. I think there's too many moving parts to only go like, huh, now, because people like...
Right.
People saw Thanos and 5% of people got excited. 5% of people might get excited for Eros, but now those people are going to Google and it's going to become 20.
Right.
Like now there's more anticipation inherently. So you're not going to only appeal to this. You're going to have the people that discover him through this appearance, and you're going to have Harry Styles fans. So yeah, I think
he's a good actor, this kid.
Dude, he's also good in Dunkirk. Like so talented. Like his music is great. I've been fucking with Harry Styles independent shit. I just found out he was One Direction last week. Okay. I didn't know. It was the first time I felt like an old man. I was really, like, there's a boy band I didn't know about.
No, he's really good. I'm a fan.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
And I think I didn't know who he was.
You know,
when you told, because you were geeking out.
Yeah, I was
next
so excited.
And I'm like, what's
why happening? Are you excited?
I'm like, you know what? Tell me afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. Wait for the credits.
Yeah, I'm like, because not telling you shouldn't be excited. I was just like, I don't know what this is.
Sure.
But it was set up fine, and it's set up like it's gonna mean a lot. But I also wonder again, what I'm so curious for the people that are watching this. Please be as active as you ever have. If you've never written a comment in your life. In watching any of these videos or anything, write your thoughts on this film.
I got to know what the people think.
I want to know. I'm so curious to see if people thought it was too wordy, if they wished that there was a little bit more action, if the action worked, if they did see like all the moments that we're talking about, they didn't connect to it the same way. The way that we are established this right now is you feel at the moment, and I've changed my opinion from originally, but you feel critics didn't really get it too much, hence the 68%. You feel audiences are also, it's going to be lower.
I thought originally walking out of the theater, this would be the first Marvel movie of the modern era in the like 75 to 78 range.
Yeah.
And then I thought audiences would give it 50 to 60. Now that critics are at 60, I'm dropping my audience down to 40 to 50. Like I'm keeping that 20% proportion. I think it's going to be rough.
I think that it's the audience score is going to be higher.
I hope so. It deserves higher both.
I think so. But We'll find out. But ladies and gentlemen, before we get going, I got one more thing to tell you about today, and that is Shudder. And if you didn't know about Shudder, you should, because listen, what is better on a chilly night than curling up in front of the TV for a great scary movie? Nobody has a better collection of horror, thriller, and the supernatural than Shudder. It's the best streaming service for horror films. Shudder is the exclusive home for found footage. Whether it is the found footage hit VHS 94 or the Shudder original. And then, you know, if you binge the last season of Creepshow, a lot of people did. I know Bibiani did, other people did. And there's a lot of it. There's this, also they have Slasher, those are both just exclusive on Shudder. You can catch new episodes of the drag competition show, the Boulay Brothers Dragula, and new docuseries Behind the Monsters, which is the origins and pop culture dominance of your favorite modern movie monsters. There's new exclusive this month, including Nicolas Cage. There's lots of it. There are Creepshow, Season 3, Elvira's 40th anniversary, very scary, very special. Here's what you can get with Shudder, which we've been talking about it with you guys. You can stream great thrillers, horrors, and suspense for $5.99 a month or $56.99 a year. Shudder has the largest, fastest-growing, curated selection of thrilling and dangerous entertainment. It is the Netflix of horror. I remember when back in the day that both Bibiani and Clark Wolf would tell me about this all the time. They would rave about Shudder, and they still do. There are new supernatural terrors, edge-of-your-seat thrillers, and shocking horrors added every week. You can stream the unexpected on all your favorite devices, iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, Xbox One, Amazon Free TV, Google Chromecast, Roku, Android devices. So much stuff for you to check out. You'll have unlimited access to stream ad-free on all your favorite devices. So there's the Creepshow one was the one for me. I loved Creepshow as a kid. Loved to see it kind of back rotating. It's great. It's a lot of fun. And it's so cheap. So cheap. Shudder.com. Do it. Get started. Do it. Stream the best horror, thriller, and supernatural content. So much great stuff. Go to Shudder. You want Shudder free 30 days? Go to Shudder.com. Use that promo code BIGTHING, SHUDDER. Do it. You got to go check out Shudder. You'll thank me for it. All right, Coy, we did it.
We did it.
We did it again.
I feel like 3 to 4 weeks ago, whenever we saw it, I have only liked this movie more.
Me too.
With Time to
I want to see it again.
Yeah, I'm really excited for round two. I don't feel that every time.
I want to try to watch this and Dune back to back.
Dude, I watched it. I saw this on Monday and Dune on Tuesday.
You did that. I want to do. I'm talking about the same day, seven hours. Right afterwards and just lock the door and let anybody in.
So I had a really interesting thing where I was watching Dune and I was watching Eternals. I was like, I've never seen anything like this in modern cinema.
Yeah.
And then I watched Dune and I was like, I've only seen one thing like this in modern cinema. And now I want, it's just the feel. And I want to talk with people about what worked and what didn't with either, because there's going to be things people don't like about Dune they might like in Eternals.
It's the filmmaking. You put a different director on this and I don't think you feel the same way.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, go check it out. Please, please be active in the comments. And if you did not know already, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, it is so important. That's why we have the great sponsors that we have today, is because you guys have been downloading the podcast. You have been rating it. Follow us on Spotify, wherever podcasts are found. You guys are the best. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to Corey Jandrew. Check us out on Wednesday, where it's going to be really good. I got Corey Coleman coming on. I'm Double Toasted. That's going to be a fun show. All right, guys. Thank you for joining us. Peace.